Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
You can see a lot of times where kind of your mind has been. I say unfortunately, some of us may have come from a background where we had been churched for a number of years. And there are things, you know, that were good, and there are things that we have to unlearn, right? But really, that's the Lord's job, and He's been doing that forever anyway, whether it be something that you heard wrong in church or whether it's something that you heard wrong in your neighborhood. You know, the Lord, really, it's His job to renew that, right? To change that, to replace those thoughts, and He's awesome at that. And that's His thing. But, you know, the one thing that I'll tell you is that you see a lot of times where your mentality is when you hear something, like one of the things that Pastor Mike mentioned on Friday, and you know, while he was going through, he said he can kind of almost, you kind of have a little sense of maybe a little bit of resistance, you know, but it actually was a very simple thing. Yeah, it wasn't anything really, you know, that should have been so mind-blowing, but you know, that things, for instance, and I was actually sharing with Miss Diana after service, you know, there are people who believe, right, that men like Paul, for instance, that he's a saint, right? And that, you know, that saints in the Bible are people to be imitated, you know, and for you to follow the things that they wrote. And, you know, people talk about St. Paul wrote this and St. Paul wrote that, right? And they go through these things about what people wrote, what men have written. And, you know, when you have the understanding that it's the word of God that was given unto them by the Spirit of God, and that by the Spirit of God, then these things were written, right? Then you understand that it's not about St. Paul, right? That Paul was a man and he wrote things, right? He wrote things by the inspiration of the Spirit of God that were just revealing things that he did incorrect in his life, or incorrect thinking that he had in his mind, right? And another thing, really, I don't think that was such a mind-blowing thing, but the other thing was, you know, about Jesus, the fact that the Lord never asked us, right, to imitate him. In other words, for us to see how he lived on the earth, and for Jesus to tell you, noticed what I did while I was walking the earth, that's for you to imitate, right? The Lord never said that. Actually, we're encouraged. Here's what we're encouraged to do, and that's where I really believe it's good for us to start this morning, or I should say even just continue. That the Lord says to behold the glory of God, for you to behold His glory, right? For you to behold His glory. And let's go to this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. Just really good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. All right? It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, which is way in the beginning, right, in Genesis, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, it says he hath shined. And you know what, let's actually do this. Can we go to that AKJV? And I just, this is something that I've been doing for a little bit. I have been comparing these two versions because the AKJV and the KJV, basically what the AKJV is, what they've basically done is that they've replaced the thous. I mean, literally, it basically, the way, it, in my comparison, the way it's been going is that they literally leave the wording just as it is, and sometimes it makes it a little odd to read, but it leaves the words exactly how it is and just replaces the thous, the old English. So I think we found a good thing here, but here's what it is, and you'll see it reads very similar if you're following along with the King James Version. It said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, it says, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, right? That the knowledge of the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God, in other words, to know His glory, to know His glory, the knowledge of the glory of God. So how is it that the Lord teaches us that? How does the Lord teach you or give you knowledge of His glory, right? Give you knowledge of His glory. So the cool thing there is that what he tells us is to behold, and let's just go from here then, right? When we're talking about that glory, let's look at 2 Corinthians. That was 2 Corinthians 4. This is 2 Corinthians 3, right? This is the chapter right before 2 Corinthians 3:18. So you just saw there that the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ, right? Seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And here it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, were changed. We're changed. And this is a word I really want us to really look at, it because I believe it's so important for us today to see that word changed there is the exact word that's used in two other places or three others, right? But that word is the word transfigure, right? Now, transfigure is to change your figure. In other words, what that literally is to change what is outward, right? To transfigure is to change what is outward. That's not talking about, change there is not talking about an inward change inside your spirit. Transfigure, that changed, is talking about an outward change. An outward change, right? Transfigure is to change, I mean, just look at the word, right? Transfigure, to change the figure, right? So here it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Now, the glory of the Lord is what? In the face of Jesus Christ. What does it tell you there? As in a glass, beholding, looking as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. So what are you doing? So you're beholding the face of Jesus Christ, right? Because that's what we just learned, right? From chapter 4, that it is the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. So you're beholding the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ as in a mirror. And the huge importance of that is to know what? That you're beholding yourself, right? Because as in a glass, as in a mirror, the reflection. So you're beholding, so the Lord teaches you to behold glory, not to behold His earthly ministry, not to look at Paul, not to look at Saul, not to look at Samuel, not to look at Elijah, not to look at Elisha. The Lord never tells you to look at men for you to learn a lesson in order for you to be improved. Never. The Lord doesn't ask you to look at pastors and teachers and evangelists or nobody. The Lord never tells you to look at anybody. Right? And that's why, can I tell you something? That's why I think a lot of the church would be appalled, actually. Maybe it is a bigger deal than I think. The majority of the church would be appalled, actually, if they just heard that we're not to imitate the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Right? What was the one thing that he said? He said, in John chapter 17, the Lord prayed. And he said, Father, that I would return to the glory that we shared before the world began. Right? So what does that mean? That he is not right now in that present state where he was, right, praying in John 17. He was not sharing that exact glory, right? So there was something that he laid down that he wanted to take back up again, right? And what is it that he wanted to share? The glory, right? The glory. We're beholding the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, right? So that means that everything could not be clearly and manifestly seen from the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, right? And people would definitely, they would take offense to that because they say, well, that's Jesus. Well, the thing is, if he laid something down to come to earth, then he laid something down, right? And it just needs to be known that when he came to this earth to become sin. Well, let me ask you this. Well, I'm not really asking you something. Just prompting you so you can see this, right? How could God become sin? It would be impossible, right? How could God become sin? God could not have become sin, right? Something had to be laid down for him to become sin and for Jesus to say out of his mouth that the Father had forsaken him, right? It would be impossible for that to happen if he would not have laid something down. It would be impossible for, and even what Pastor Mike was mentioning on Friday is a very good verse, right? Where he said that he became for a time a little lower than the angels. I mean, let's just be real in what the Lord is teaching us, right? Who is greater, an angel or Jesus Christ, right? But when he came down to earth, he was made lower than the angels, right? Lower than the angels kind of sounds a little bit kind of how we were made, right? When you were born in sin, you know what you were? Lower than angels, right? That's how you were, right? Today, you are a son, that means you are greater than an angel, right? An angel is not greater than you in your born again form, right? You have been made like the Son of God. So angels are not greater than you. That's why Paul says you bicker among each other. He said, don't you know that in the age to come, you're going to be actually the ones that are going to judge angels, right? Well, you're not going to get to heaven and receive a judge's robe. You're going to have the same robe you got on now, the same righteousness you have now, the same spirit you have now, the same condition you find yourself now internally is the same condition you will be then, right? Except that then, right, you will be wearing fully, you will be transfigured fully. You will be transfigured fully in that day. But transfiguration should be happening. Transfiguration should be happening in our lives. I mean, what he says there, he says, but we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Look at how we're changed. We're changed into the same what? The same image. The same image that you're beholding from glory to glory. And that's why it was so good where I was telling you, that's exactly where we're starting here is exactly where Pastor Mike finished off. He ended what he was saying by glory to glory. Here's why that's so important. Because you don't behold, right? We right now do not behold, as we walk on this earth and as we are, we do not behold all the glory of God at the same time. So you behold the glory of the Lord, the glory of our God in the face of Jesus Christ, right? And where is that glory? The Bible says that the mystery, because it's important, right? If you're going to behold the glory, you might as well know where it is, right? If you're going to look at a glory, you might as well know where that glory is. And the Bible says that the glory of God is a mystery that was not revealed initially to the prophets and those that prophesied about the coming and what the Lord would do. It was not known unto them. It was not shown or revealed clearly unto them. But now today we know that the mystery that's been revealed for all of the church to know and to understand and for the world to see is Christ in you, who is the what? The hope of glory. The hope of glory. Now, and what you'll always see is that the glory of God is always spoken of in two instances. It's spoken of the here and now and that which is to come. The here and now and that which is to come. And why is that? Because it's actually the same thing. The here and now and the day to come is the same thing, because what he's saying is the source, if you will, right? The source, or we could also call it the riches, right? The source or the riches from where all is going to come from. Pastor Mike mentioned the verse about how creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Where's the revealing is something that today is concealed that tomorrow will be shown fully, right? Well, that which is being revealed even today, right, is being revealed is what? The glory on the inside of you. Listen, you know, the more I go outside of just the people that we normally see in this church and talk to other people, the more that it is this stuff, I'm telling you, this is unknown to most people. Unknown to most people. Let me tell you where most people are. Most people are, you know what they want to do? They want to glorify God. Honestly, listen to me. I'm telling you, I am so convinced of this thing. I could go into any church, I think across this world, and ask this question: how many of you want to glorify God and do a great work for the Lord? And everybody would raise their hand, right? Everybody wants to glorify God. Here's the weird thing. They don't know how. They want to glorify God, but you know what they're convinced? They're convinced that it's with what they do. That's why people are offended when they say, right, that you're not to follow the examples of men. Because they're trying to be an example themselves. Right? How do you tell somebody who's trying to be an example not to use men as an example? That's what they're actually doing. They want to be an example. They want to be an example for the world. They want to be an example for their kids. They want to be an example for their employer. They want to be an example for their employees. They want to be an example. So how do you tell somebody who wants to be an example not to follow an example? Right? You don't need to follow. Listen, we're not trying to imitate. We're just trying to, right? All that we're doing, and I shouldn't even use that word trying, all that we're doing, right, is just looking at something you have inside. That's all. It's beholding with an open face, in other words, without having blinders on, having the blindness removed from your eyes, which thank God, right, that's happened, right? Right? That this, we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed, we're transfigured. Our outside world, our outside body is transfigured, changed. The image of it is changed. The figure of it is changed from glory to glory. What? As you behold the glory of God, there's parts of your life that are changed, what? From glory to glory. Glory to glory. Listen, if you're like me, or there were times in my life where I looked and I said, you know what, Lord? We talk about a lot of exciting stuff at church. But you know what, Lord? I don't see nothing different in me, different from my coworker who doesn't even know Jesus. Right? Like what's different in my life and in my thinking between me and that person, right? It's like the outside is the same. I get sick like they do. I get depressed like they do. I'm suffering like they do. I'm dying like they're dying. My family's falling apart like their family's falling apart. Everything is going to you know, where in a handbasket, just like they're going in a handbasket, right? It's like you see no different. Listen, when there is no different scene between a son and a servant, right? Listen, when there's no different scene between a son and a servant of the house, right? The only difference there, when there is no difference between a servant and a son, is lack of knowledge. Because a servant knows nothing, and if a son is a son but does not know anything, then what happens? There's no difference, right? Let's show you that, because that's good just to see it. I know that you guys have probably seen that before if you're not thinking already about the verse that I'm thinking about. But let's show that to you real quick. And it's funny, you know, that he says there, in the image of his son, right? To be transformed into the image of his son, right? What the Lord would never speak to you and say that you should be transformed into the image of his son if you were not a son. Because you cannot bear an image of something you are not, right? How could you bear an image outwardly of something that you are not inwardly? The only reason why you can bear an image, in other words, why you can birth an image, is because you are that on the inside, right? It's just a really a matter of time, right? All it is, it's a matter of time. And the matter of time occurs, right, from listening. And that's all. That's the only thing that changes everything, is the listening to him, right? It's probably behind me already, but I'll find it for you. It is Galatians, yeah. All right, good. Good. So let's look at that. So verse number one, he says, now I say that the heir, now what's an heir? An heir is one that already in reality, an heir, right? Not that you're going to be an heir, but an heir is one that in reality, right, already possesses that which belongs to another, already possesses that which belongs to another, but is waiting for death, right, in order to receive, right? Now we're not on that side, right? We're not on that side. We're not people that are waiting on death because death has already occurred, right? So we're on this side of death, right? So we're heirs on the other side of death. So if you're an heir on the other side of death, that means you are already truly in possession. It's not talking about what you're going to get and looking forward to it. It's that you already got it inside. So you're already an heir on this side of death, right? So if you're an heir on this side of death, it says that the heir, as long as he is a child, and I know in the essence what this is really talking about, it's really talking about the law. It's talking about people on this side. That's why verse number 2 talks about the tutor, right? But you could be on this side living on that side, right? You could be on this side thinking like you're on that side. And what happens is if you're on this side of death and on this side of your inheritance and you're living and thinking like that side, guess what happens? There's no difference between a son and a servant still, right? So here's what he says. He said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, which is really talking about our understanding, right? A child differs nothing from a servant, though it says he is Lord of all. You see how vast that is to say that? Lord of all. But if you look at your life sometimes and you say, Lord, I don't see a difference. I don't see a difference. I mean, I feel like a servant. I feel like I'm subject to the things of this world. Like the Bible says that whom you obey, you are that one's servant whom you obey, right? So you see that it is really in obedience, right? It's in our obedience. Why would I be a son and obey or conform to this world? Why would I take the form? What conform, right, is to take the form of. Why would I take the form of a world, right, when I am a son? Right? It says that the heir, as long as he is a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he is Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, right? The time appointed of the Father was Jesus, right? The birth of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that was an appointed time. That men like Jeremiah and Abraham and all of these men and women before Jesus, they only could look unto, but could not receive ahead of us, right? But you have on the inside of you today has been, he said that he predestinated you. In other words, that the Lord predestined, that he determined beforehand that you would be conformed to the image that he put on the inside of you. The image of Christ in you is the image of the risen Christ with all the fullness of God on the inside of him. That is the image that you've been given. That's what's been put on the inside of you. But do you see how that is? Because we say, you know what, I get it. Those are such big words, and you're talking some big stuff about all of this that I got on the inside of me. But guess what? I don't see none of that in my life. That's doing nothing for me. You know what that is? That is a son walking like a servant. That's an heir walking around like a pauper, like walking around like he has nothing, like he owns nothing, like he's lord of nothing, right? And what happens is that thinking did not come from you, right? That thinking didn't come from the Father. That thinking comes from the world. You know what I'm saying? In the world, you have to, if you can remember back that far, right? If many of you were probably saved a while ago, when you were in the world, right, and you were of that world, that's all you could think about. The limit that you lived with was your own limit. The limit of your understanding or the understanding of another human being. You were completely limited that way. There was nothing that you looked forward to other than what you could do or what another human being could do for you. That's it. You were totally carnally driven. There was nothing else that you could look forward to. There was hope of nothing. That's why people in the world use the word luck. Right? Because they have no hope of glory. They have no Jesus. They got no Christ. They have no God and Father of us all. They just have luck. You know what I'm saying? They're just, you know, that's kind of what I've been dealt, and that's what I'm going to deal with. And I just, you know, good luck. Right? You probably used to say that. Sometimes maybe it just flows out of your mouth today. Right? And somebody, and you would look at somebody and you would say, well, you know, good luck with that. Good luck. What you're saying is, you really have no advantage, no clear advantage over me. The only thing that'll help you is if you just happen to just stumble over it and fall right into it by accident, right? But that's how you used to live. But can I tell you something? That thinking, though, should not be our prevalent way of thinking now. But how has that changed? From glory to glory. Because here's what happens. That's why the Lord says that we prosper and we are in health. I believe that's like 1 John 3 or 4, right? That we prosper and that we are in health as our soul prospers. In other words, as you behold from the glory of the Lord, glory to glory means from beholding the glory of the Lord to beholding the glory of the Lord. All that means is in the continuing of beholding the glory of the Lord, right? As you continue to behold the glory of the Lord, you are transfigured. And listen, that's an awesome, I love that word. Transfigured does not mean that you'll have more stuff in your head so that finally in the day, transfigured, what he's saying is, here's what he's saying. The more that you learn Jesus and you listen to him and you come to him, your life will be changed. And that it's kind of like the crux of the reason why people looking seek after God, because they want to be transfigured. They want their outside to be different. They want their life to be different. They want everything outside to be different. They want their children to be different. They want their house to be different. They want their cars to be different. They want the things that they own to be different. They want their life and everything around them that affects them to be different. They want it to be different, that if somebody tries to come and assault you, people want the outcome of that assault to be different than someone else that would be assaulted, right? If they were to get into a car accident, God forbid, right? They want that car accident to be different, that they would come out of that miraculously, that the car is a shambles and you come out and there's nothing wrong. People want to be able to walk into a flame and come out of the other side without smelling like they've been burnt. That's what people want. They desire that. They want that. How does that happen? This here, he's saying, that has to be renewed. That has to be changed. And as you behold my glory, but the great part of that is that what you're beholding is a glory in you. Right? What we're beholding is the glory on the inside of us, right? What we're beholding is the glory on the inside of us. Let's go a little further there. It says in verse number three, it says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. What that's saying is when you were a child in your understanding and you knew nothing and had nothing, and basically a resemblance to the before you were saved, he said you were in bondage to the world. That's just what we said, right? That's how we live. We lived in bondage to it. Now, you didn't know you were in bondage to it, but you were in bondage to it, right? You could do nothing but what the world allowed you to do, right? In bondage to it, in bondage to sin, right? You could up here want to have good thoughts, but you would have inevitably have to sin. We don't have to do nothing now, right? But inevitably, before you were saved, you had to. You were governed by a law. It's called sin and death. Sin and death. And you were dead because of sin. So that's how you were governed and you lived. You were dead because of sin. Thank God. I mean, listen to me. What do you think that is? Does that do something in your heart to see that a law like that has been lifted from you? When the Lord lifted the law of sin and death from you, right? Sin lost its hold, right? Sin lost its hold and death has lost what it had, because death actually wasn't just holding on to you. Death was holding on to sin. But because sin is gone, death went with it, right? But it's funny, the interesting, let's just use that word, interesting, is that so many people live like they're still governed under the same law. Like the law of the spirit of life in Christ is not actually the law that you're under, right? Like almost like we're living under sin and death because that's the law that I'm still under. I mean, it was an excuse for us then, right? But today, the Lord thankfully has left us without excuse to live that way. In other words, what that means is you have no need to have to live that way. And we have to be taught that, right? We have to be told that. We have to hear that to know I'm not governed by that law anymore. And why is that? Because he is not. Because he is not. In other words, don't think it's sacrilegious that you behold Jesus and that you're looking at yourself. That's what he's trying to teach you, that you are beholding my glory, he's saying. The Father is saying, behold my glory in my Son, right? In my Spirit on the inside of you, so that you can see who you are. And not forget who you are, right? But keep listening. Keep listening. Listen, if sometimes that's a sense in your life that you have, you say, you know what, Lord, I could actually sit down with someone from the world and start sharing problems and we'll be like on the same page. Like they'll totally identify with what I'm going through in my life. Oh, you've been depressed too? Yeah, I've been depressed too. Yeah, listen, I'm not going to offer you sympathy for that. Why would I do that? Why would it be okay for you to come up here and say, Pastor Jose, I want you to pray with me because I'm depressed. See if maybe you can get this off of me. Your mind needs to be corrected to know nobody has to get anything off of you. He already got it off of you. Why do I got to pray for you to get something off of you when what I have to pray for you is that your mind would be changed? And my God, that's what we're doing right now, right? Nobody, you don't need prayer to get something off of you, right? I mean, you need to know that it's been off of you. Now, I do get and I fully understand, right, that there are some times where, you know what, you know that it is. In other words, you know that you're changed from glory to glory. You know that it is by hearing that you're changed. But sometimes, you know what, you just need a little help hearing, right? I think all of us go through that, right? Where you just, man, you could hear, but just right now your mind is a little, right, a little foggy, and you need someone to speak to you the word of God, and that's an awesome thing. Nothing wrong with that. But the thing that you have to know in every decision you make is where, what position are you coming from, right? What position are you coming from? I'll just explain it to you this way. If you had all of the money in the world in the bank, you would not come up to me asking me for money. Why would you do that? Right? Why would you come up to me, ask me to give you money when you have all of the money that you could ever need in right in your bank? Now here's something that I want to show you with this. If it is true that we have the glory of God on the inside of us, then it must be rich and it must be abundant, right? In order to be able to meet all of my needs, right? If it is by we're changed from glory to glory, then if that is true, there must be a glory to behold, and it must be awesome, right? There must be a glory to behold in the face of Jesus Christ, and it must be awesome, right? You know, I tell you, it's just such a gorgeous thing the Father says to you. It says the glory of the Lord is in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of the God of all the universe, the God that is worshiped by people that worship him erroneously but know he is there, the God that is seen even in creation itself, that people that don't even believe or acknowledge a God would look at a creation and know something powerful has done this, right? I was just talking to Pastor Mike the other day, and he was telling me about, he was reading this thing about how it's so strange that the I don't know if it's the tissue or something in your ears grows outward. That it grows like grows outward this way. And the awesome thing is that's in order for the earwax in your ear to be able to come out. When you look at something, you're like my God, like what? What? That there is something that we started then talking about DNA. Like DNA, I mean, I know how to program computers, right? But when you think about that, DNA is encrypted data in your body. Somebody wrote that program. Somebody wrote that program, right? Encrypted data all over your body. Encrypted data. Right? That has hints of who you are, right? Encrypted data on the inside of you. You know, that you would look at that and say, you know what, Lord, the God that did all of that has given me his own glory. When you know that and the Lord is teaching you that, Father, you have given me your own glory. You said, Lord, that whom you predestined, right? Whom you predestined, you called. Whom you called, you justified, and those whom you justified, you also glorified them. Listen to how silly it sounds now. You have the glory of God on the inside of you, but we're trying to imitate other men. That sounds foolish, right? You have the glory of God, the glory of the God of all the world inside of you, and instead of looking to what we have, we're trying to just live superficially and trying to imitate what you're doing. Right? In other words, we're living like monkeys when we're kings, right? Living like a monkey when you're a king. Why would I try to look and imitate someone when I inwardly, I have been made a king and a priest, right? A king given the reign, a priest given the standing, right? The standing and the ability to be able to receive. You know what you say? You know what? That's enough monkeying around, right? It's enough acting like a monkey. You know what, Lord? I'm going to begin to find out and to hear you teach me who I am inside. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. My God, so good what he's done. So good what he's done. Jump down to verse number seven real quick. Verse number seven, Galatians 4:7 says, why you are no more a servant. But it says, but a son, and if you are a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. An heir of God. An heir of God. What does it say in Philippians chapter 4? That God, talking about financial money stuff, right? Talking about monetary things that you need, right? It says, here's what Paul says. You gave to me. In other words, it was money that they gave him. They sent to him to sustain him, right? They sent money to him. Right? Because he had given unto them, he had given them spiritual things. They returned to him, right? They returned physical things to him. And you know what he said to them? He said, you gave into your need. You gave until you couldn't give no more. He says, but don't worry. He says, because my God, I already know this. He's saying, I already know my God, he's going to supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. That is what? In Christ, who is what? On the inside of those people that gave. He was assured. He wasn't praying and saying, oh, Father, please, I ask you, Lord, to meet their need. That's not what he was praying. He was saying, I know that my God is going to meet all of your needs. Because if they gave, right, from the work of God that he was doing in them, God never does something on the inside of you, right? In other words, if you give from an abundance, you are never depleted, right? If you give knowing what you have, you give without fear, right? When you can love people without caring if they love you back, right? Because you have the love of God on the inside of you. It doesn't matter if they love you back or not, right? Everything that a Christian does, that does from the knowledge of the glory that they have in them, they do it abundantly without fear of ever. In other words, that's why there's that thing that people actually try to live out, give without expecting anything in return, right? I mean, it's good to return things to people, right? It's good to return things to people, but it's not the, in other words, my feelings are not hurt if you don't, right? If I give something to someone and they don't give nothing to me back, I don't have to have my feelings hurt if it was the Lord that did that through me. Why? Because I'm given out of the abundance of the riches of his glory. You know, when you know the riches of his glory in you, I mean, I get it, right? When you don't know what you have inside and people give you that verse and say, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, I get why people are still looking at other people. You know why? Because they are sons living like servants, right? No one's insulting them saying that they're not sons. It's just that you're a son living like a servant, right? You have the glory of Almighty God on the inside of you, but sometimes beholding, right? Not the glory of God, but beholding your own body, beholding circumstance, beholding all of these things. Let me bring you to Romans chapter 12, because that's a great place to be. Romans chapter 12, and let's just look at verse number 1. Because he makes it so clear there. Everything that we've been saying. Romans 12, 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which we've learned many times, is alive from the dead, right? Alive from the dead. Alive from the dead meaning, right? Sin and death, no longer. You died, right? In other words, the law itself says that if a man dies, he's released from the law. Done. If a man dies, he's released from the law, right? You died with Christ, you're released from the law, right? Right, that's a separate thing that we could keep going on. But he says, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And look at verse number 2 there. And be not conformed. It means don't take the form. Don't take the form. Don't be conformed to this world. But there is that word again, transformed. Transformed is the word transfigured, right? So, but remember, that's not talking about, listen, it's saying to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's not talking about your mind, right? In other words, if it would have said that your mind would be transformed, listen, please, this is important. It's not, that verse does not say that your mind would be transformed. It said that you are transfigured by the renewal of your mind, right? So it's not talking about your mind. So let me ask you this. If your spirit's already been made perfect, right? And your mind is being renewed, what is being transfigured? Because you already ran out of stuff, right? If your spirit is out of the question, right, and we nullify that, and your mind is being renewed, the only thing that's left is your body, right? So if he's saying that you would be transfigured by the renewal of your mind, what is he actually saying there? That your body, right, is going to be changed, that the things around you will be transfigured. In other words, take the figure of what? Of the image in you. The Lord, here's what the Lord says. My will, if anyone in here, please, does not know this, it's an awesome thing. You'll know it now. And if you forgot it, you'll know it now. And if you remember it, you'll hear it again, right? What is the will of God for me? And believe me, you can go out there and start visiting churches and they don't know. They're trying to find the will of God for them. But here's what you already know the will of God for you is. The will of God for you is that you would be conformed to the image of his son. That's the will of God for you, that you would be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, let's put it like this. The will of God is what? What God wants to do in you. What God wants to do in you is that your outward would be conformed to the image of his son. Where is the image of his son? On the inside of you. The image of his son, or the glory of God, right, is the same thing on the inside of you. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, and don't be conformed to this world. In other words, what he's saying is, don't take the form of the world. The Lord would not say that if you had to. The Lord cannot tell someone who is unsaved, don't be conformed to the world. They're in it and they're of it. So how can you not be? In other words, there would be an impossibility to tell somebody who's in the world not to be conformed to it. They have to be, right? That is the world, right? But he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transfigured, transformed. When Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's the word that's used. What was it that was changed? What was noticeably seen by the apostles and documented there? His outside shone like the sun, right? What happened? He was transfigured, right? Transfigured. What was seen? The glory of God was seen from him. That he's saying here that it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind. In other words, making in your mind those things be changing, becoming new. Your thoughts, the way that you think. Putting on what? The mind of Christ. Listen, when you think like him, you become like him. When you think like Christ, you become like Christ. Who has you? Who makes you to think like him? He writes his own thoughts on your mind, writes on your heart. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Write his thoughts so that his thoughts are your thoughts, so that his ways are your ways, and so that you are like he is, right? What's another verse that he says? He says, as he is today, so are we in this world. It's not talking about Jesus in this world, right? Because it would have said, as Jesus was in the world, right? Because he's not physically here right now, right? He says, as Jesus was in this world, so are you walking in this world right now. But he says, as he is right now, present tense, so are we in this world, which he's not in this world, right? His Spirit is in you, but he's physically with the Father, right? So it says, so are we in this world. In other words, our present time. You see what kind of moose that is? For you to be able to know, listen to me, that you, there is nothing, there is no death, there is no decay, there is nothing, there is no hurt. You remember the verse that says that we have ascended to Mount Zion, right? That we have ascended to the mount, to the church of the living God, right? Look at, we'll stay here, but let me read this to you real quick. Let me read this to you fast so you could see it. It's actually out of Isaiah chapter 11, right? And we'll stay here. I'll just read this to you. When it says that we have ascended to Mount Zion, right? That's what we have come to Jesus Christ, the mediator, right, of the new covenant. Look at what it says. It says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 9, it says, and that they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth. And this is speaking about what? Now and then. And here's why in Mount Zion, right? In other words, in heaven, right? Where is it talking about right here? In heaven, right? It says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, right? What is it that eliminates hurt and destruction? The knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge of the Lord. And Pastor Mike was talking from 2 Peter chapter 1, right? That says what? That grace and peace are multiplied unto us in what? In the knowledge of God. The power on the inside of you is multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God. Hurt there, listen, the majority of the church prays this and doesn't know what they're praying. Oh, Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a big prayer right there. That your will would be done on earth here as it is in heaven. The same, listen, I probably can't even raise my voice anymore, even though it feels like I'm going to pop, right? The same people that are asking for that day after day after day, that they want exactly the way things are in heaven to be done right here on this earth, are the same people that if you told them that they have the glory of God on the inside of them and that their prayer could come true, would not believe it. Would not believe what they're praying. The same people that would say, deliver us from the evil, amen, right? Evil is hurt. Evil is hurt. Listen to this. People ask God every day to deliver them from the hurt of this world. And when you tell them that they're delivered, they say heresy and they don't believe you. Right? You see the confusion? You see what a vicious, horrible circle, right, the church is living in today? That we ask for it all, we possess it all, but believe none of it. Right? You see the quandary that this thing causes, right? Because we're asking for something we already have. So you know what happens? The church says God does not answer prayer. That's what the church believes. God does not answer prayer. And you know why they say that God does not answer prayer? Because they're right. He doesn't have to answer anything that they're asking for because he's already given it to them, right? Why is he going to answer you? So you know what he does? He tries to teach you what you have on the inside. But you know, the church is not looking to be taught. They're not looking to be taught. They want to be shown, but they don't want to be taught. But you know what happens? You can see all day and you will not know. You can see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in your life. You could see them all. All of the miracles could happen to you, all of them. Miracle after miracle after miracle could happen in your life, and you will not believe anymore. You know why? Because it's only in knowing him, right? It's only annoying him. Look at that again in Romans chapter 12. He says that you would present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, that you would not be conformed to this world, but that you would be transformed, transfigured outwardly by what? By your mind being renewed, that you may prove. You see what that is? That you may prove, that it may be manifested, that it may be seen, that you may prove what is that which is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. What is it? That you would be conformed to the image of his son. You know what he said? If you learn me on the inside of you and you know what I put on the inside of you, you see who you are, you will prove what's in you. What's in you will be seen, what's in you. It'll be seen, it'll be proved. The will of God, what is it? That we would be conformed to the image of his son, that we would take on the form of his son. You see, what a plan. What an awesome, magnificent plan of God that he has. That he wants me. He's not happy with me just having his spirit. He wants my physical appearance, my body, and the way that I think to be just like him. To be just like him. That's why he calls me his son. That's why we are called his children. Listen, the message, if you hear and you've been reading with your heart the things that he's saying, you know what he's saying? You are my children. Don't act like servants, right? You are my children. Don't act, don't live, don't think like a servant. But you know what? As long as we think like a servant, we will always live like servants, right? If we think like servants, we will always live like servants, right? But thank God that what is he doing? He's continually teaching us who we are, beholding the glory of God. You know, what I pray, not just for this church, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ across this planet, right, is that we would see that we would just be able, look, just to look at him, just to behold him. But you know what we're still caught in? We're still caught in the same place that the church was at the beginning of time. In the time where the church was taking little baby steps, you know what they were already arguing about? Who belonged to the church of Apollos and who belonged to the church of Paul? That's what they were arguing about. You know what we're still arguing about today? What we are, Methodist or Presbyterian or this or that or the other one or this one. And now we're non-denominational, so now we have this whole thing. We have made being not part of a denomination, right? And it all just needs to be people being taught to listen to the same Jesus that they have on the inside of them, hopefully, right? Listen, we have the things that we know in this church, listen to me, that sometimes we run sometimes out of patience to listen to. But if we would see and you just look and you say, you know what, my God, Lord, all I would have to do is talk to a few people about this and they do not know. So for you to see, for you to look at that and say, Lord, you're teaching me all of these things. Why? Why are you teaching me all these things? And years ago, I really understood that. I had heard it before, but finally I understood it and say, Lord, you never teach me all of these things if you don't want to bring it to pass in my life. Do you see what awesome news that is for you, right? On this day of May 2017, on this Sunday, right? That all of the things that you're hearing about, all of the glory that you possess, God, it's his full and complete intention to bring it out. It's what he intended when he put it in, was to bring it out. There's no other reason why he put it in there if not to bring it out. People, listen, I feel like I have to get on my knees and beg, right? Just look at what you have on the inside of you and stop living like a poor man. On the inside of you are the riches of the glory of Almighty God. Why do we live like we live? Why do we think like we think? Because we're not willing to listen. I can't, listen, I think sometimes I said, Lord, how is it conveyed? How is it conveyed the easiest? And can I tell you something? Something like this, do you know how sad it would be to try to bring something as important as this and try to sugarcoat it in some kind of a way so that people can swallow it? How do you take something so marvelous and have to try to encapsulate it somehow with some fake garbage so that people can swallow it? How do you do that? How do you take something so gorgeous like the glory of God and the riches that we have on the inside of you and try to somehow encapsulate that in something so that it will be palatable for people? You know what? Just tell people what it is already, my God, right? Just tell them what it is, just as plain as day and as the nose on their face, so that they will be able to be taught it by the Spirit of God, right? But you know what it is? Here's what's happening. And obviously, you know that we're not talking about you because this is not what is taught in this church, right? But what the church is doing is we encapsulate that which is awesome and make it into something that's okay so that people can swallow a little bit at a time. But you know what they're swallowing? They're not swallowing the truth. They don't know it. They don't know that. They think that the truth is for them to know, that it's their job to figure out if what somebody is speaking is right. You know why? Because they're not told that they can't. So you know how confusing it is to live your life following after some pastor that lets you down. So now I'm going to give up on the church, right? And because an individual let you down, then there goes my relationship with God. Forget about him now. Oh, now my life is spiraling backwards because some man let me down. Who cares, right? Who cares? Who cares, right? Who cares about that? If you could be taught the truth, right? And we could stand up and say, you know what? If you could leave here today and know this one thing, the aches and the pains in my body, I don't have to live through every single day. You know how many of you right now, as God is my witness, here's what you believe. You believe aging is normal and the pains and the death that come with it are just fine. And you've embraced it and accepted it as something that's all right. You don't like it, but you accept it, right? You're sitting here right now after all of this that you've just heard, right? And you believe that it's okay to accept that. That it's just, you know what? It's just part of life, you know? Have you ever heard yourself say that? It's just part of life. It is part of life in this world of which Jesus took you out of. Listen, he loves you so much. And he has put on the inside of you his glory. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge the Lord. And you know what he'll do? He'll reveal the glory that's on the inside of you and he'll show it to you. And you have no other job and no other burden and no other thing to do. Just to let him just reveal and show it to you. That's all that he wants to do, is just show you what's on the inside. And you know what happens? He says you'll be transfigured. Your life will be changed from glory to glory. From glory to glory, it'll be changed. He'll do that, right? You don't have to do that. It's just listening to him. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, there is care and love that I have, my Father, in me, Lord, for all of the church. But Father, right now, Lord, my heart, Lord, is on these people that are here right now, the ones that are here right now, that are listening right now. And my Father, there is no greater desire than I have, which is the same desire that I have on the inside of me, just to behold you and live with ease, my God, and in peace. To be able to live, my Father, with a body that is complete and whole. To live unbroken. To live unbroken, Father. To live with a mind that is sound. To live with a memory that is fresh and new every day. To live with a strength on the inside of me that is just as my day is. Anything that is needful for me to do, anything that is needful to be done, I have the strength on the inside of me to do it. That my youth is renewed. That my youth is renewed every day. And that I grow not weary. All of these things, my God, all of this you have put on the inside of me. And I have an overwhelming desire to continually see what is on the inside of me. Jesus, to see you in me and be able to behold the beauty of my Lord. That you would, Lord Jesus, as a flower is opened up and revealed, that you would be able to continually show us, Lord. That we would give you entrance into our heart and say, Holy Spirit on the inside of me, Spirit of Christ and Spirit of God, open unto me so that I can see. And thank you, Lord, that I just have to come with an open face, knowing that the blinders have been removed and it's been given, your Spirit has been given for me to know and just go on to seeing. Just go on to beholding. Just let the beholding continue. Let the beholding continue. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, my God, today that it was your desire, Lord, in order for us to be able to see that we are not servants. That we are sons, my God, that we are not servants, that we are sons. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord, for your work on the inside of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your working in me. You have made my spirit holy and you have set me apart from this world. Father, I pray, my God, for these that are right here, right now. Father, I know that you kept your word and Jesus prayed and he asked you specifically for us. He said, Father, keep them. Keep them from hurt. Keep them from hurt. And Father, you kept your word and you gave us your spirit so that we would have on the inside of us the one who would teach us so that we would not have to be involved in the hurt and the evil of this world. So that we would not be hurt, for on your mountain, Lord, there is no hurt, nor is there any destruction. On your mountain, Lord, there is no hurt, and on your mountain, there is no destruction. And we are, Father, we stand, my Lord, Jesus, on top of that mountain, Lord Jesus. We have ascended unto it. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, my God, for what you're continually teaching us, my God, who we are. We are not slaves. Let us not think like them. We are not servants. Let us know that we are not servants. Just let the Son begin to hear. Let those that are sons and children of God begin to hear. And you will see that the things of servanthood and servitude to this world will fall away. Fall away. And you don't even know when it fell off because you're too busy with your heart on Him. Him writing all the beautiful things of who God is and who He's made you. Father, so we thank you and we praise you for what you've done and how you've done it. For keeping us, my God, always for keeping us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.